Welcome to HN Pod, your daily download of what's buzzing on Hacker News. Today is Friday, August 15th, 2025, and this is episode number 126.
Hey everyone! On today's show, we've got a heavy hitter. Joseph Prusa, the founder of Prusa 3D Printers, has an article arguing that open hardware desktop 3D printing is dead. It's a fascinating and frankly worrying read.
We'll also be diving into a massive library of digitized occult books thanks to a donation from the Da Vinci Code author Dan Brown. Then we've got a show HN for running Kubernetes on the cheap, a look back at a classic Paul Graham essay, and we'll finish with a powerful metaphor about an electric fence that stopped working years ago.
Let's get right into it. The top story today, with over 600 points, is an article by Joseph Prusa titled "Open Hardware Desktop 3D Printing is Dead." And he's not just some blogger. Prusa is arguably the biggest name in the open source 3D printing world.
Right, and his argument is pretty stark. He says that since around 2020, when the Chinese government declared 3D printing a strategic industry, the landscape has completely changed. He's seeing a flood of patent applications from Chinese companies. He points out that just four major brands went from 40 applications in 2019 to 650 in 2022.
And the core of the problem is what he calls patent spamming. These companies are taking existing open source designs, making tiny modifications, and filing for patents in China. Because of a government incentive called super deduction, companies can deduct 200% of their R&D costs if they can show innovation. And a patent application, even an ungranted one, counts as proof.
He gives a really personal example. He says his company's MMU multiplexer, which they open-sourced 9 years ago, has been patented as an exact copy by a competitor. It's already been granted as a utility model in Germany and China and is filed as a full patent in the US.
And this is where the open-source model just breaks down. Prusa points out the huge cost asymmetry. It costs about $125 to file one of these patents in China. But to fight it, even with clear prior art showing you invented it years ago, can cost tens of thousands of dollars just to start, and potentially millions in a full-blown court battle, all while you're legally blocked from selling your own invention.
The Hacker News comments really latched onto this, seeing it as a symptom of a much bigger problem. A user named Sympaticoder says the real story is that IP ownership is capital intensive when it shouldn't be. The justice system itself is so slow and expensive that it allows the wealthy to bully the poor and the small innovators.
Absolutely. And there were some really interesting ideas for reform in the thread. My favorite came from user 9_K, who suggested making patent fees exponential. You'd pay something like $10 the first year, $40 the next, $160 the year after, and so on. By year 10, you're paying over $10 million.
That's a brilliant idea. It means a small inventor can afford to protect their invention for the first few years while they try to commercialize it. But it stops huge corporations from hoarding thousands of patents they never use just to sue people. It forces you to only hold on to patents that are generating immense value.
It's a sobering look at how a system designed to protect innovators can be weaponized to stifle them. And Prusa warns this isn't just about 3D printing. It applies to any industry targeted by the Made in China 2025 initiative.
All right, let's shift gears from the world of patents to the world of the arcane. Our next story is from Open Culture, titled "Occult Books Digitized and Put Online by Amsterdam's Ritman Library."
This is just incredibly cool. The Ritman Library, which has a huge collection of pre-1900 books on alchemy, astrology, and magic, has digitized over 2,000 of its texts. And the project was funded by a donation from Dan Brown, the author of the Da Vinci Code, which is just the perfect little detail.
It really is. The article points out that these aren't just spell books. Back then, the lines between science, philosophy, theology, and the occult were incredibly blurry. You have famous figures like Isaac Newton, who was a giant of science, but also spent a huge amount of time on alchemy and trying to predict the apocalypse. These books are a window into that intellectual history.
The comments section on Hacker News was fantastic for this one. A user named dr.dshiv gave a great starting point for anyone wanting to dive in, recommending Agrippa's 3 Books on Occult Philosophy. He also mentioned Marsilio Ficino, a Renaissance philosopher who argued that gods and demons don't have feelings, and that consciousness itself arises from the interaction between an immaterial soul and a material body.
And that led to this amazing tangent, where another user connected that idea to Nobel laureate Roger Penrose's Three Worlds theory, the idea of a cyclical relationship between the physical world, the world of consciousness, and the world of Platonic ideas like mathematics. It's wild to see these ancient esoteric ideas echoing in modern physics.
Of course, this being Hacker News, someone immediately commented, "Uh-oh, we accidentally trained GPT-6 on the Necronomicon." And someone else replied with a link to Noose Research, who apparently already trained an occult-themed language model. You can't make this stuff up. It's just a fantastic project, making these rare and fragile texts accessible to anyone with an internet connection.
From ancient texts to modern infrastructure, next up is a show HN called Edka, which is a platform for creating Kubernetes clusters on your own Hetzner account.
For those who aren't familiar, Hetzner is a German cloud provider that's famous for being incredibly cheap, especially compared to the big three like AWS, Google Cloud, and Azure. The catch has always been that it's more bare bones. You have to do more of the setup yourself.
And that's where Edka comes in. The creator, who has been working with Kubernetes since its alpha days, built this tool to give you a PaaS-like, or a platform as a service, experience on top of Hetzner. It lets you spin up a production-ready cluster in about 2 minutes, and then easily add things like databases, ingress controllers, and monitoring tools with one click. The whole pitch is cutting your cloud bill by up to 70% without sacrificing ease of use.
The comments had a lot of discussion comparing Edka to other tools. Some people use Terraform modules, others use tools like COPS or Talos. The consensus seems to be that Edka is aiming for a higher level of abstraction and a slicker UI, making it simpler for people who don't want to get their hands quite so dirty with configuration files.
There was also a really interesting human moment in the comments. A user named B. Flesh pointed out that the website had no legal information, no address, no company registration, and that it didn't pass the smell test. It was a fair criticism.
But the founder, who goes by Camille, jumped in right away. He was super transparent and said, "Hello there. As I mentioned in the post, I built this as a side project by myself, and I'm running it as a freelancer registered in Spain." He admitted he didn't expect so much interest and promised to fix the mistake and add the proper legal notices. It was just a great example of the direct, honest feedback loop you see on Show HN.
It really was. It turned a potential red flag into a moment of trust building. A great story all around.
Let's move on to our next piece, a true Hacker News classic. It's an essay from 2013 by Paul Graham called "Do Things That Don't Scale."
If you're in the startup world, you've probably heard this phrase, and this essay is the source. The core idea is that founders wrongly believe startups just take off on their own. In reality, you have to manually crank the engine to get it started. This means doing things that are completely unsustainable at a large scale.
He gives some legendary examples. Stripe, in its early days, was famous for what Y Combinator calls the Collison installation. Instead of just sending a beta link, Patrick and John Collison would say, "Give me your laptop," and set up Stripe for the customer on the spot. Another one is Airbnb. The founders literally went door to door in New York, recruiting new hosts and helping them take better photos of their apartments.
And he talks about why founders resist this. Sometimes it's shyness or laziness, but often it's because they think it won't scale. They look at these tiny numbers and think it's not worth the effort, but they're underestimating the power of compound growth. If you get 10 users 1 week, then 11 the next, it doesn't seem like much. But if you keep that 10% weekly growth, you'll have 2 million users in 2 years.
The comments on this were, as you'd expect, full of great insights. One user put it beautifully, saying, "Inertia is the biggest issue for a startup. The world doesn't like you, doesn't think it needs you, and you've got to invert that. Doing unscalable things is how you create that initial momentum from scratch."
Another commenter made a fantastic point about why doing things manually is so valuable. You learn. He shared a story about a client who automated the process of scraping competitor prices. They got the data faster, but they lost all the ancillary knowledge they used to gain by manually browsing their competitors' websites, seeing new product trends, new marketing approaches, and so on. They optimized the way their own market research. It's a powerful reminder to not prematurely optimize your learning process.
A great essay that is just as relevant today as it was over a decade ago. And that brings us to our last story, which is a beautiful little piece from a site called Soonly, titled "The Electric Fence Stopped Working Years Ago."
This one is less about tech and more about the human condition, but it clearly resonated with the Hacker News crowd. It's a short post that starts with an anecdote. The author hears a dog barking from a porch, and the owner calls out, "Don't worry, the electric fence hasn't worked in years, but he still won't go past it."
And that becomes a metaphor for the invisible fences in our own lives. The author argues that our strongest electric fences are the ones we put up between ourselves and other people. The voice in your head that says, "Don't text them, you'll seem needy," or "They haven't reached out, so they must not care." We're trapped by the memory of some past rejection or some social rule that doesn't actually exist.
The post calls for 20 seconds of embarrassing bravery, just enough courage to send that text, to make that call, to be the one who cares out loud. It argues that the person who reaches out first isn't the weak one. They're the one who realized the fence is broken and is running free.
The top comment from a user named Lord Nacho was just perfect. He said he stays in touch with everyone from his high school class because he just stopped having a filter. When he thinks of someone, he sends a message. And crucially, he doesn't add apologies like, "I know it's been a while." He just writes as if they're best friends who talked last week. He says that when you act like you're close, people tend to play along and get comfortable very quickly.
It's such simple, powerful advice, assuming rapport instead of creating awkwardness. It's a wonderful note to end on, a reminder that sometimes the biggest breakthroughs aren't in our code or our products, but in the connections we're afraid to make.
And that's a wrap on our stories for today. From the weaponization of patent law to the digitization of ancient magic, and from startup wisdom to a simple call for human connection. A pretty classic Hacker News mix.
Thanks for tuning in to HN Pod. We'll be back tomorrow with more from the front page of Hacker News.